Hi, I'm Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine, and you're listening to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Hello and welcome to another edition of the USA Hockey Magazine podcast. Today we are going to continue our discussion with Matt Leaf, the director of USA Hockey's coaching education program. Matt oversees the day-to-day operations of a department that serves more than 26,000 registered officials. He also works closely with the International Ice Hockey Federation as a supervisor in international events, including the Olympic Winter Games. He is also a hockey dad and helps coach his two boys' Mite teams. Matt, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks, Harry. It's great to be here again.
Today we're going to talk a little bit about the differences between body contact and body checking. So can you just kind of give us a brief overview of the difference between the two?
Well, I think a good place to start is I'm going to read you the definition of what legal body contact is, not only within the USA Hockey atmosphere and in our rule process, but also as recognized by the International Ice Hockey Federation. And that definition is contact that occurs between opponents during the normal process of playing the puck, provided there has been no overt hip, shoulder, or arm contact to physically force the opponent off the puck. So the bottom line is body contact is really the normal process of playing the game where the focus is on the puck. There's going to be physical play. Anyone who's seen some high-level women's games some other fairly fast-paced games with the body contact rules has certainly seen physical play, and we want to allow players to continue to battle. We want to allow players to continue to use their size, strength, balance to establish body position and maintain that body position. But I think the key core value here is the shift of focus a little bit from the body checking part away from intimidation. And take that aspect out of the game and away from punishment and putting the focus back on body checking to actually separate the opponent from the puck. So the key here is the overt hip, shoulder, or arm contact to physically force the opponent off the puck. As long as you have two players that are battling, they're competing, they're using their balance, they're using their legally gained body position to maintain that position, that physical play is not only certainly welcome within the rules, but also encouraged as being part of the game of hockey, and that really is the focus that we're trying to gain here at all levels of play, really.
Well, that's great. Well, that leads me into, I was going to just mention a hypothetical situation. Let's say you've got two players racing toward a puck in the corner. They hit shoulder to shoulder as they're both going for the puck. One player falls down, the other player skates off with the puck. Would that be considered a penalty, or would that be under what you're talking about with legal body contact?
You know, once again, as long as there's no overt hip-shoulder action or forearm action that separates or creates separation with the opponent, that's two players that are competing, okay? And they're simply battling for the puck. The focus is on the puck. They've established whatever body position that they have at that time. And again, two players running into each other isn't a penalty. That's not something that that fits the definition of illegal body contact or illegal body checking. So in the basic form, as long as you have the two players competing, battling, you're not going to penalize the one player simply because they maybe have a little bit more balance or they have a little bit more size or strength. Now, if that player takes the shoulder, drops the shoulder, and initiates the contact with the opponent, we're talking a different situation. It's not necessarily just body checking, but interference comes into play because obviously they haven't gotten to the puck at that point too. So there's some other things that factor into that. But simple competition, simple battle for body position between two players is definitely not what is trying to be addressed through this rule change process. And is an important part of the game and certainly going to be a continued important part of the game at all levels.
How much of USA Hockey is played under these rules at the present time where people play with body contact but they're not allowed to have legally body check?
It's Tough to put an exact number on it, but I've always kind of sort of speculated that it's probably about 75 to 80% of all games played under the USA Hockey sanctioning are probably played non-check. If you think about the 8 and under and 10 and under age categories, which are our two largest in terms of numbers at the youth levels, they're all played non-check. Everyone is fully aware and it welcomes the expansion of our girls and women's programs and the new players that are participating in that particular portion of our family, and that's all played under the no check. And I think a lot of times you also overlook the adults, and the fact of the matter is I believe we have over 100,000 adult hockey players that are sanctioned by USA Hockey, and except for a handful of teams in a couple of leagues, they're all playing non-check. So if you put that all together and compare that to the levels that do play with body checking, I think you probably find that the vast majority of games, whether that be 75%, 80%, 85%, whatever that number is, the vast majority of the games, it's pretty clear to say, are played under the body contact rules right now. If this proposal were to pass and adding the peewees into that group, it's really not going to be a significant change in terms of the percentage of games that are played.
You know, refs right now have a very difficult job on the ice. I mean, they're obviously, it's a fast game. They've got to make a lot of decisions very quickly. Does this impact officials heading into next season?
I think it impacts them. Of course it does, because it is still a rule change that they need to prepare themselves for. And even though it may be something that they are already aware of and they're already working, it adds another component at this particular level. But I think where it impacts them, and some could even argue that it becomes a positive impact, is that body checking, distinguishing between body checking and body contact is not a simple thing. Okay, you could have 100 people, coaches, officials, players, parents, whatever, watch the exact same play, and the chances are they're going to be split 50-50 on it in terms of whether that was a legal check or a legal body contact or an illegal check. And that's the reality of it, and we're not going to necessarily be able to change that. But I think at the same time, what it does is it actually simplifies the game a little bit from the standpoint of it lowers the threshold. And right now, the officials at the peewee level, at the 12 and under level, is they see a hit and they're trying to make that determination of whether it was a legal body check, okay, whether charging was involved, whether it was a late avoidable check after the player has relinquished possession and control of the puck, whether it might be a boarding situation. So they've already established the fact that they're making a judgment on that particular contact that occurs. Now, that becomes a penalty. If this proposal goes through, all those things that I just described right there becomes no-brainer. It's a penalty. It's boarding, it's charging, it's late avoidable check, it's body checking. And all it's really done, this proposal, is lower that threshold in terms of where the key judgment is taking place. And I don't think that anyone's really going to be get real concerned about the two players that have complete 100% focus on the puck and run into each other. Okay, that's not a body checking or illegal action, and not something that's going to be the focus. But where it is going to come into play is now that situation where the player delivers a check and they use their forearm as a means to deliver the check, that becomes a penalty. And that becomes a penalty because it's defined that way as a result of the definitions of body contact and the definitions of a legal body check. But I think it becomes a little bit clearer for the official to be able to make that judgment in terms of the degree of the force and how that hit takes place, and becomes a little bit easier for them from that perspective. Can't promise perfection. You know, just like we have officials that struggle with too many players on the ice. Okay, that's just the reality of a volunteer-based organization that has 26,000 officials that are part of our membership. And we're never going to be perfect, and we're certainly never going to be perfect on that particular issue of body checking versus body contact. But at the same time, We're certainly going to provide all the resources that are necessary to hopefully set our officials up to succeed. And they'll go out and for the most part, do the best that they can. And I think that the game's going to be better as a result of it.
Great. Well, speaking of resources, will you be putting together any kind of new standard of play or any kind of documentation that will be put into effect next year and brought down to the grassroots officials?
Yeah, I think as part of this initiative, and it really is more than just simply taking body checking out of the 12 and under level, but part of this initiative also includes a greater awareness of teaching legal body contact at the lower age classifications, and a greater awareness of putting the focus of a body check back on what it was originally intended to. And it's interesting because you talk to a lot of old timers and you know, body contact today was what a body check was back in 1970, you know, and that's just how the game has evolved a little bit. But the bottom line is that this initiative is going to be comprehensive in terms of creating better teaching and better awareness. I know on the coaching side, they're working very hard with their educational materials. And on the flip side of that is, as part of that, I think organizationally, we're also thinking that we need to take a stronger stance as it relates to the illegal body checking that occurs in the classifications that do allow body checking, and that means boarding, and that means charging and taking excessive strides to go and deliver a check to an unnecessary check to an opponent. That means the late avoidable body check to a player who no longer has possession control of the puck. It means contact to the head, any type of checks to the head, and obviously checking from behind. And I think as part of this initiative, an offshoot of that will be some sort of a standard of play initiative that deals not only with the non-check or the body contact age classifications, but also addresses those intimidating, those punishment, those illegal actions that occur in the body checking classifications and create a better awareness and a better education program as it relates to those things as well.
Sounds like it will also go a long way toward making it a safer game, especially in this day and age. We're all talking about, you know, concussions and the seriousness of concussions, and so it sounds like what you're talking about is even making it a safer game for everybody.
Absolutely, I think the game becomes safer, and an added benefit is ultimately. I know the hockey department people, and they're much smarter in this area than I am. But as a hockey parent of some younger boys who are moving up into those age classifications and have experienced the ADM program for the last couple of years here with the cross ice and stuff, they're going to become better hockey players and more skilled hockey players along the way. And if we can do that and create a better environment where the kids are having more enjoyment and developing more skill, and as an added bonus, we make it a little bit safer for them. Boy, I think that that's the way to go. And you know, USA Hockey certainly needs to be applauded for at least considering taking a leadership role in this particular issue and moving forward.
Great. Well, Matt, I really appreciate you taking the time today to talk to us. That's all we have for this episode of the USA Hockey Magazine podcast. To learn more about the this subject, you can go to usahockey.com and click on the body checking link. We're also, we have all these podcasts are archived. Thanks again for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon.